is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? And wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
The most important element of a free society where individual rights are held in the highest esteem is the rejection of the initiation of violence. That is a quote by Rand Paul. That is Rand Paul's father, who announced today that he will be running for president in 2016. But today is April the 7th, 2015. So let's go ahead and deal with on our plate today. As always, I am your host, S.M. Gibson, with Anti-Media Radio. In the studio tonight is our wonderful producer, Mr. Shannon Madden. How are you doing tonight, Shannon?
What in the butt? What's going on, y'all?
All right. There's been some breaking news tonight. So before we get down the list of stories, I want to talk to everybody. I don't know if y'all have seen the video yet, but on April the 4th, a couple of days ago, there was a South Carolina police officer. He stopped a guy, a traffic stop. He had some warrant outs for arrest. The guy that he stopped, he owed some back child support. The guy ran.
No, whoa. Now, so he didn't kill anybody, didn't run anybody over with his car.
Well, we don't know what happened.
Rob a bank.
No, we don't know. We don't know yet. We're gonna go ahead and try to follow and see what happens here.
Okay. Okay.
And then we'll figure it out from there.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure this out because you would expect somebody that gets killed by the police.
We don't know anybody got killed yet. We haven't gotten there yet. But we're about to. We're about to.
Sorry.
So we have he's in Charleston, South Carolina, Michael Slager. So he was the officer involved. We've got Walter Scott, who was the man that was pulled over and had some warrants out for his arrest from some back child support. He runs. Officer Slager,
he's dead now.
Shoots him.
I'm sorry. I gave it away. He's dead now.
Officer Slager shoots him with a taser. Scott keeps running, at which point the cop shoots him 8 times in the back. So the original story was, as you know, there was a scuffle. I feared for my life. The cop, the same old story you always hear. Well, this time there's a little something different that happened. There was a guy hiding behind the fence in the bushes with his cell phone filming the entire thing.
Probably one of the most brazen I've ever seen in my whole life.
You've got to give the guy credit for filming.
Oh, man, I have to give him huge credit because I don't think I would have had the balls to be able to do something.
It's pretty intense.
Amazing journalism.
And unfortunately, you know, and we have to remember this is a very, you know, sensitive subject. You know, Walter Scott's family lost somebody for absolutely no reason. This is just absolutely horrendously horrible.
It didn't make a child support payment.
Right. I mean, it's horrendously, horrendously horrible. Okay, so the cop's like, oh, I feared for my life. Yeah, we had never heard that before. So the video comes out, and it shows a guy, I don't know, maybe 30 feet away with his back turned running. The cop is in absolutely no fear for his life, period. And you just hear, 8 times into the guy's back.
And because of the brave fellow that sat behind that fence
and filmed it, the cop could have gotten off and
I've got to show this to somebody.
Right.
This is worth seeing.
This could have been another situation.
Show everybody, show the whole entire nation, go check this out. This is amazing footage. And it is very graphic and it's very hard to swallow, but this is something that we want all of our listening audience to see.
But
this is what we're talking about day in and day out. We're not talking about.
It doesn't matter. You don't shoot anybody. I don't care what he did. I don't care what he did. You don't shoot somebody in the back 8 times. I don't care what the guy did. You know, period. You just don't do that.
I have to play devil's advocate. We're talking about a murder. We're talking about a violent criminal, somebody who's been known to pull a gun out, shoot somebody in broad daylight.
But
that's one thing. We're talking about somebody who missed a freaking child support payment. Now, I'm not saying that I'm in favor of deadbeat dads, but out of all the things that you would shoot somebody over, I don't know. That's pretty small on the list, man.
I think
way down there.
It appears that the officer would have gotten away with it again if it wasn't for the citizen filmed it, because yesterday the officer's attorney said that, you know, the cop, he felt threatened. The motorist was trying to grab his stun gun. There was an altercation. This morning after the video was released, guess what? That lawyer is no longer representing.
They always try to grab the gun. Michael Brown. I mean,
that lawyer is no longer representing him. They have charged the officer with murder, which is, I can't tell you the last time I can remember a situation like that. That's
awesome.
How bad it is. And what's so sick about this is I saw comments on social media tonight where there was people, even after the video came out, still defending the cop, being like, that's one less thug, yada, yada, yada. It's like, people are so sick in the head. They're so brainwashed by society and what their television tells them and what the establishment tells them that they're defending a guy shooting a guy in the back 8 times.
Absolutely.
And he's even getting charged with murder. And listen, this guy's not just getting charged with murder. I don't see how this guy doesn't go away. The mayor of Charleston even came out and made a statement today. And he says, you know what, when you're wrong, you're wrong. You made a bad decision. It doesn't matter if you're behind the shield or you're a citizen in the street. You've got to live with that decision. I think this cop's going to go away. If he doesn't and they burn down Charleston, well, I can't really blame anybody on that. And I'm not advocating anybody do that, but this guy is going away. This is going to be the cop that it's all going to come down on, and it should.
But at the same time, though, it's still – and I honestly believe, and I hate to be the cynic here, but – you know, I really honestly believe that this is still going to be one of those quiet little anomalies. Well, we'll make sure that doesn't
happen.
We already have so many states that are starting to pass different legislations about a citizens filming cops performing their duty, the duty that we as taxpayers pay them to do. Filming them performing their duties, their job on the streets. Now, how many people that are listening to this broadcast go to work and have cameras focused on where they are at different points of time during the day during work?
And you're not getting paid by taxpayers.
And you're supposed to be, total private entity, and you're supposed to be totally cool with that at all times. And if you raise any kind of dissent about it, well, wait a minute. Well, why are you fussing about this? Are you doing something on company time you shouldn't be doing? And you know, I don't understand why this is the norm in the private sector, but in the public sector, where we, all of the whole entire listening audience, whether you pay the federal taxes at the end of the year or not, whether you go to the store and buy a soda and pay 10 cents on the dollar, you're providing you're providing these police officers to do this job. You pay their salaries.
Well, here,
and so they're going to throw a big fit about people that are standing idly by away from whatever crime scene or whatever scene they happen to be working. And you mean to tell me that is wrong or unjustifiable for citizens that are filming people doing the job that they pay these people to do? Are you kidding me?
But here's the deal, too, and this is something that everybody needs to remember about this situation, is – We hear of lots of people, we speak to lots of people that have altercations with police that are doing absolutely nothing wrong. They're bystanders to an incident that's going on with police, and they're not even involved in the situation, and they're filming the situation. And the cops tell them to stop filming, or sometimes that there's cops Senior Allen to film me. There was a famous video from Ferguson, and you can't blah blah blah. You can't film all that junk. Okay, just say to that officer, City Patrolman Michael Slager and Walter Scott, if somebody wouldn't have been filming that incident, a murder, that's what he is. Sorry, shot because it's on tape. It's on tape. This isn't like, well, we need to know the specifics. It's on tape. The guy's so far away from him. There's never been a gun pulled, and then he pulls the gun out and just shoots the guy in the back. It's murder. He was charged with murder. Luckily, there's still some shred of justice in this country where that happened. But tell that to the officer that questions you about why you're filming.
Back that up, because when you started this sentence, you should have started it with yet another murderer. Because many murderers do we have just in the very short time that I've been participating in this broadcast, the many numerous murders that we broadcast on day in and day out. Derek Cruz,
I'm convinced there's body cam somewhere on that, and I just don't think that they're going to release that.
Absolutely not.
Given the fact that there was no arrest and they found that much weed and there were zero arrests because they had killed that kid, I think that was pretty much.
That's why, and for
and I think what they'll do is they'll dismiss that cop and send him
on his way. Do not cut into the government's profit, because that's what that young man was doing.
And they're going to protect their own, too. You've got to remember that. I think that's what's going to go down in Florida, is they're going to protect their own, and I don't think that cop is going to be tried with murder, but, you know, he may be dismissed.
No, he'll get a nice, cushy desk job and go ahead and get to the point where he can retire with all of his retirement, and he may even get a commendation for keeping that dangerous criminal off the street, fellow that was selling a bunch of plants out of his backyard.
Well, yeah. You know, and that happened with the kid up in, was it Cincinnati? Forgive me. I'm just completely drawing a blank. That was shot that just, what, 2-3 weeks ago,
yes.
The kid had just graduated high school. The cop that shot him had shot somebody previously and actually had gotten an accommodation and a medal for it. The point I was trying to make earlier, Darren Wilson had actually said on tape that you weren't allowed to film him, but it had nothing to do with the Michael Brown incident. And that was a tape that, like, people were first kind of introduced to Darren Wilson. But yet, you know, police officers say that you're not allowed to film me, yet you are. It's been passed in court. You are allowed to film police officers.
Why,
this is the
why
perfect example
is every
why
other
you
person
should.
That works a government job that goes to whatever building that they work in and they have cameras on there 24/7? Why are police officers going out and doing the will of the people, protecting?
Well, then I wouldn't say they're doing the will
of
the people
anymore. Yeah, obviously not, and they're definitely not protecting and serving anymore. All they're there to do is respond. And they're responding horribly to every single one of these calls that they're going to, regardless of whether it's a child support call or serving a warrant for some pot plants or some
But, you know, I'm
going to
go ahead
house.
And say this. I'm going to say this. I'm going to be devil's advocate here because, I stress this on this show about every single thing, and I want to make it clear with this. I don't believe that every single police officer in this country, I don't believe there's every single anything anywhere is a certain thing.
Oh, absolutely not. There's some absolutely wonderful, fine police officers.
But they do enforce.
Doing
they
exactly
all
the job.
They all enforce.
To
no,
do.
No. Well, they all they all employ to enforce some pretty bogus laws. At this
absolutely
point.
Not. Absolutely. And there's also a lot of police.
But
officers.
That doesn't mean they're bad people. Specifically.
There are a lot of police officers that and I'm not going to name any specific situations, but we all know that one guy that the police officer came up on him and kind of giggled a little bit and was like, "Hey, I know you're breaking the law, but man, get on out of here. You're just being silly." That is effective policing in my own statement. And you know, there's also on the other side of that spectrum a police officer that walks into a very gruesome, horrible situation and has to respond accordingly.
Well, I think that's where the whole, you know,
but
and for me, but
a
listen,
lot of the stories we've talked about are not those situations.
But here's the deal, and this is why I think the whole hashtag Black Lives Matter arose, and And why I completely understand where it came from is because, again, like with its police officers or whatever, I support all people in all ways, all facets of life, period. And I don't like segmenting any population for any reason, good or bad, because I think we're all here together to live this experience together in life. But what I think where Black Lives Matter came from is because of what you're talking about. And let's look after Kentucky lost the basketball game the other night. In West Kentucky, kids just storm the street and they start burning stuff and they start throwing these things or clothes are setting on fire and there's kids just wasted in the street. You know, frat kids of Kentucky lost the game finally, were burning stuff, were out of the tournament. It was a riot. There were people fighting in the streets. And the police arrested about 30-something people. But if you look at that situation compared to the situation in Ferguson, per se, I think you're looking at a predominantly white kind of, I won't say privileged, but, you know, more well-to-do crowd that's on a college campus in Lexington, Kentucky. And you've got the people that you had in Ferguson. Now, of course, all the protesters in Ferguson were not Black, but they didn't really care because you're protesting for something. They treated everybody the same. We don't care about any of you. Screw all of you. And they became very, 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 very aggressive with those people. And you didn't get that so much in Kentucky. The media wouldn't even call it a riot. Well, yeah, and it was a riot.
Particularly with the media. I mean, there were so many anecdotes, probably more so than any other riot that you can possibly think of police brutality on the actual media on the ground there to broadcast what was going on.
Right. And the problem.
Incredible.
And the problem is everybody says, okay, I sat there and I kept up with Ferguson and I kept up actually for whatever reason. I didn't even watch the basketball game, but I sure watched those riots and through Twitter and watched the whole thing. It was just fascinating to me and I just kind of wanted to see the outcome. And I noticed that the reason, at least from my perspective, the reason that the riot in Lexington didn't escalate is because the cops weren't provoking people. They were kind of like you said, you're doing your thing, you're some young person, blah, 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 you get a little bit out of control, we'll arrest you. And again, they made about 30 arrests, whatever. But in Ferguson, they were inciting people.
Oh, wow.
They were getting up on them and inciting them. And, you know, and I think that's where the whole Black Lives Matter comes from, and I think that's why it's important. But I also... I think it's fair to say, you know, it's still an all lives matter kind of thing. It does boil down to skin color with some people. There are some people out there that are still blinded by somebody's skin color, and those are just idiot people. And you know what? They're so moronic that they should be locked up for being that foolish in 2015, really in whatever year. I still never quite figured out why people can look at somebody else and judge them for a skin color, but whatever, that's a completely different topic. But it's a socioeconomic thing. It's just like, whatever. You're from over here. What are you gonna provide to society? These kids are in college. They're gonna make something of themselves. Jeb Bush and George Bush, they were in college, they got rowdy and drunk. Look what they did. And I think that's how they look at it. They're, you know, it's you know, a lower neighborhood, it's not a college campus. And it's money.
Yeah, I want to go ahead and kind of interject right here, and I'm going to get harsh for half a second. So if any kids are listening, close your ears. Yeah, fuck that. Black Lives Matter.
Of course.
Is exactly what I just saw. The footage that I just saw coming out of South Carolina with the white cop that was chasing down yet another African-American
male
and shooting him in the back numerous times, that's where Black Lives Matter is coming from.
Well,
African-American and people of color are absolutely sick of being chased down for stupid bullshit, like a child support payment.
I get you.
A missed child support.
I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really think, because everybody's like, these cops are racist, I'm going to ask you a question. I've met living in Birmingham, Alabama, the majority of the cops are black. I don't think the cops here are racist. I think they are on a power trip. I think it's an ego thing. Do you really think all these cops are racist? Or do you think they're just on their high horse and it's like, I can literally do whatever I want to do. I can shoot somebody in the back, regardless of who it is, and you can't do anything.
I don't know. You know, again, if we're out in a different part of the world, maybe, but here in the South, I don't know. I saw a special kind of, you know, nigga, you gonna get on down right now.
I get it, but I just...
And I saw that in that video.
Here's the deal. People should stop killing
people. Even the first responding officer that came on was an African American. He immediately put his gloves on because he realized he was in a situation he didn't want to touch.
No.
Right off the bat. Go back and look at that video again.
Oh, yeah, it's murder. It's murder. And the guy needs to go to prison.
And the responding officer that came up behind him, who was African American, knew that the moment he shot.
It was murder, and the guy needs to go to prison.
And he didn't even see the footage that we saw from the guy filming the whole thing.
But look at, okay, but here's, they would at least charge this guy's murder. I mean, look at Eric Garner. We had that on tape. We had that on tape.
They have no choice. They have no choice but to charge him with murder. And they should have done this with so many other officers in the same position before. Thankfully, we have the right kind of footage that is so bright and so clear. And there's no conjecture whatsoever. It's there. It is straight up.
We had it with Eric Garner, though. We had it with Eric Garner.
Yeah.
It wasn't taking a bullet to somebody's back. You know, I mean, this is way more graphic and way more flagrant.
Absolutely.
But it is what it is. There's still a dead person. There's still an innocent dead person. There's still somebody that was killed by a uniformed police officer on duty while being paid with your tax dollars. You, when you work, a percentage of your check was cut out. That percentage of your check went to pay for someone to be killed. That's what this is. You know, it is in that black and white of terms. Your money that you worked for at your job, a percentage of that is cut out to give to somebody that kills somebody. And you sit there and you justify those deaths because it's no, that's not possible. This can never happen. And that's what's wrong with society. That's what's wrong with people. Because you know what? There's not all police officers going around killing people. They're not. And it's because of the police officers with Darren Wilson or whatever cop you want to mention, the cop in South Carolina, the kid that killed Derek Cruz, Pennantello in New York that killed Eric Garner. The situation is when somebody was paid to kill somebody, it's time for them to find another profession.
Yeah.
Even if it was self-defense. You know, and unless it can be completely like, oh, wow, this guy was getting, like, it had to be done. But when there's these gray areas and we have to explain our way out of it, no. You stop protecting the community because you have to explain why you killed somebody in that community. And that person needs to go, and chances are they should probably be tried for murder. That's why all these cops – the one thing I'm so against the government saying anything should be mandatory. Anything, like, I just don't think the government should say this should be mandatory at all. One thing that needs to be mandatory, maybe the only thing, I don't know, I'm sure there's others, I'm just, you know, ranting off the top of my head here, but all police officers should have body cams on them. They're being paid with tax dollars. Body cams, they should have them. And when a situation like this arises, and that camera's mysteriously off or mysteriously, you know, don't work, guess what? You're screwed, buddy. Learn how to operate a camera. It's personal responsibility.
Yeah, I want to get nasty here for just half a second. And not nasty in a Two Live Crew kind of way. But let's go ahead, and I'm just going to throw this out here. And I'm actually going to invoke the spirit of Jesse the Body Ventura for half a second. Yes, I'm doing that. I see that look you're giving me right now. All right.
Yeah, I don't like where this is going.
Yeah, but it's fixing to go there. Because this man got shot over child support. And I know quite a few gentlemen in this day and age that are saddled down and burdened by child support. Now, And I see you tapping your foot. I know you're getting all antsy over there. So you
well,
know
I just heard Jesse Ventura, so
yeah.
I'm just waiting.
Yeah, because I'm gonna correlate this here. Just
I'm waiting for it.
I'm coming, baby. It's coming.
Well, let's get
ass.
To the point.
Yeah. Well, and the point is that first off, it takes two people, not one, to make a baby. So that means that two people should have to pay for that baby, correct?
Well, one
so
of them's already
you,
paying
no,
for
no,
it.
No. You just hang on for half a second. I say that we go ahead and pull all state funding, helping these children out of wedlock, and we go ahead and pull all because again. We are against.
The children matter, wedlock or no wedlock. The children are
children
still just
matter,
as important.
Absolutely.
The children
but
are
at
important.
The same time,
regardless.
At the same time, if you have a situation where, and we have a lot of these situations, and I've lived next door to it, situations where all of these welfare mothers that have 5 and 6 babies from 4 and 5 baby daddies getting all these different checks from here and there, we suddenly cut that out. Well, first off, we have a situation where ain't nobody going to need birth control no more because there ain't going to be no more keeping their babies.
But that's not going to solve it. That's not going to solve nothing, dude. It's not.
Absolutely.
It's human nature.
Absolutely it is.
I get it. But
absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, see, the thing is, though, is
I think you're going way
you
down
have,
the wrong
you
path
have
on
never
this.
Lived in a neighborhood next door to
yeah,
somebody who has had 6 different pregnancies from 3 different daddies. 2 of them are in jail. And
what? Right.
And have no
but guess what? You're not affecting. But what does that have to? What does
and
that have to do with the government?
$1,500 a month.
Guess what? Guess
job.
What else people do in the South? Guess what else people do in the South?
This ain't just
there's
about
people
the
in
South.
The South.
This is a nationwide epidemic. Come on, man.
Listen. This is what else people do. They have 2 kids and they claim 6 kids. That's what happens. People take advantage of the government. People take advantage of their situation. People are. You're completely addressing the wrong problem here, and it's about helping the people, not about people need to live in reality. But at the same time, these people have been made dependent, and it's something because of the dependency they've been given to them on the government.
No,
you're not going to fix
it.
You're not going to fix it by taking it away.
And
you have to end it. You have to end it. You do, but you're not just going to. You're not going to fix it by just ripping it away from anybody. I wish it would work that way, but you have to do it through attrition. That's how it realistically has to work. It can work that way from Social Security to welfare to everything. The stuff has to stop, but it has to happen through attrition because people right now have grew up in a culture of dependency that you can't just say it's just inhumane to come in and say we're just going to take all this stuff away from you. We've been giving you since you were born. You know, they're not going to have to survive, and that's completely inhumane. You have to do it through attrition. The government has to get their nose out of everybody's lives and everybody's business. But
I thought that was what I was talking about.
You were, but at the you were, but at the same time, it is as much as I understand what you're saying, you can't just say all of a sudden everything's gone.
Well, you know, the thing is, though,
you can't
do
that.
And again,
that's not realistic.
And again, here in the South, when I, as a Southern white male, make a statement like that, then all of a sudden that's instantly perceived as racist. But there are also people,
it's
all
not.
Races, that are taking advantage of that same thing. And
oh,
I'm talking
dude,
about
yeah.
folks.
There's a,
that's white the folks, thing. Brown folks, black folks.
That's the thing people
blue
don't
folks,
get about
Chinese
the South.
Folks, everybody.
The South is poor. That's the thing people don't understand about the South. Is like what people consider predominantly black culture is really Southern culture because white and black are both are poor in the South.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it is what it is.
Equally in a lot of different
yeah,
areas.
Yeah, it is. Yes. And they both take advantage of the exact same situations from the government.
And do the same exact crap that I'm talking about right
absolutely,
now.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I can't really speak for the rest of the country, but in the South, that works all ways. It doesn't matter your skin color. People are willing to take advantage of the government and the
absolutely.
Free paycheck they can get from it. But, yeah, you know, I feel bad for those people, but they've been raised in a culture of dependency, and they have to be weaned off of it because if you just pull the rug out from under them, it's not going to work. I tell you, I'm going to go ahead and change topics. Let's talk about Rand Paul throwing his name into the ring for the President of the United States.
I like Rand Paul, and at the same time, he was just on Hannity, and Hannity was damn near blowing him. So, I mean, you know, there is that.
Well, Rand Paul is not, again, Rand Paul's not going to save anybody, okay? Rand Paul, first off, is nowhere even close to what his father stood
damn
for.
Damn, Skip.
And Rand Paul, it's a tough conversation. I'm not here to endorse or not endorse anybody, and won't do that for anybody other than, you know, unless your last name is Bush. I will definitely not be endorsing them. But, you know, I don't think the people that want Rand to be Ron, it's not there. It's not going to happen. There's been too many red flags, and I think a lot of people, it's like you told me before we went on air tonight, there's so many people just waiting for Rand to kind of give that wink, wink, nudge, nudge, saying, I know it seems like I'm selling out, but I'm just doing this to get elected. You can't throw all your hopes into somebody that on a wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
No, I think that's why, Obama made a, I think he was probably the master of that in modern politics, as far as the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and the silent, you know, gonna give you the wink and the little, you know, thumbs up next to my coat outstretched so everybody else can't see it, but you can see it. I'm here for you. And he was actually, as far as a master politician goes, Obama has definitely been a, well, I'm not going to say a master, you know, out of a, on a scale of 10, probably about a 7, 7.5. He's really good, very slick, but at the same time, he's going to go ahead and do whatever he's going to do to help the people that put him there. And that's unfortunately what I've seen.
That's what all politicians
that, do. Absolutely. And, you know, Ron Paul seemed like he had the most hope until last year when his party turned in on him. When he was put up in the debates, was destroying everybody on stage.
But at the same time, he was not toting the party. And that's why Ron Paul had genuine support, is because the Republican Party, no party supported Ron Paul. The people supported Ron Paul.
Rand Paul is a softcore Ron Paul, is what he is.
I'm not even going to say that at this point. I get your interpretation of that. I don't know. I don't know what to think. If anybody out there has any thoughts about Rand Paul, you can call us at 718-717-8296. That's again area code.
Unless you're Sean Hannity, I don't care what you have.
Right,
to say
again, it's area code 718-717-8296. If anybody's got any thoughts about Rand Paul, I don't know what to think. You know, I don't know if it's, you know, the Pied Piper taking you down the trail and he's going to sell you out, or he's really the real deal. There was a situation that happened with Abby Martin, who was a journalist and worked with TV channel RT, along with many, many other things she's done. And so the story goes, and I won't put words in her mouth, but so the story goes is Rand tried to get her press credentials taken away from her just sincerely for asking her a question. I tried to get in touch with her earlier tonight, and we couldn't get her on, but hopefully we can do that in the near future, because I would love for you to hear her version of events. But if that story is true, that really concerns me. Very much concerns me.
And I think we're kind of aiming in the right direction about Rand Paul. As much as I hate to say it, you know, I know you've been a very big fan of his for quite some time.
Well, I'm not anything anymore. And that's the thing. At some point, I was a fan of Rand Paul when Ron was running.
Absolutely.
And I was under the impression, okay, Because, look, I was a fan of Ron Paul. I'm not going to say I wasn't. And then after that, I was like, well, Rand's going to go ahead and continue this. This is what's going to happen. And it was just one little thread after another, which at this point, I don't know. You know, I don't endorse anybody. And I wish I could sit here and say I could, but if I'm being completely honest with myself, I don't know. I don't know. I can't speak for his real intentions, but I've been made uncomfortable by a lot of his change in positions.
Well, I already have a hard problem with really throwing my hat in the ring with anybody under the Republican or Democrat banner right now. And not to say that I'm a libertarian or I'm this or I'm that or this, that, and the other, but our current two-party system, and I think we all know this, and this is kind of redundant for most of our listeners, but our current two-party system is a fucking joke. It really is. And it's sad that we, you know, that we've been reduced to this, that, you know, it's almost like, you know, the election, the presidential election is really kind of like American Idol. It really is. Except we whittled down all the other ones. We've got rid of all the other distractions. It's now, you know, Taylor Hicks versus, you know, Gary so-and-so, you know, this party versus this party, and, you know, this little, you know, hashtag versus this hashtag. That's really what it's come down to now. And unfortunately, the third party vote, whichever third party you may throw your hat in the ring is, it's going to continue to be, you know, on that lower tier until how many people didn't vote in the last general election?
I don't know.
It was an insane amount, a vast, vast majority. And the people, and look, I'm going to
no point in voting.
I want to disclose this right now. I didn't vote in the last general election. I saw the lesser of two evils and decided to back out of it.
There's no point.
You're absolutely right. We have to make a stand and push forward beyond the two-party system. There's no two ways around it. The two-party system is an absolute joke, just like the network system is in the television industry.
But okay, here's the deal. And this is the real answer with Rand Paul or whoever it is you want to support. Honestly, it's up to you. It's up to you and your community and your family to provide for yourselves. The only thing that a politician is ever, ever, ever going to do for you is the government so out of control, is they're going to help get the government out of your way to help you live your life. But it is up to you to live your own life and live it as freely as possible. That's supposed to be what this country's about, to live a free life and to have liberty and to live as you choose and to worship as you choose and to believe as you choose. And all those things, as long as you're not harming someone else. And the government has gotten so far out of complete control, the only thing any politician, I don't care who it is going to do is help get the government out of your life so you can live freely. We have to bring things down back to community. Everything is so, it goes through this or that or this or that. And we've gotten away from what's important. We've gotten away from family, friends, community. And we have to go back to helping ourselves and helping our neighbors.
That's where the real power is.
It is. That's where the real power
is.
Absolutely. And you're not – the answer's not going to come from Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Hillary Clinton, whoever you want to be. That none of those people are going to be the answer. None of those people are going to solve the problem. The problem is going to come from within. And it's going to be with you and your neighbor coming together to fix a problem. The only thing in 2015 a politician will do is help get the government out of the way. Period. Speaking of which, government in the way, out of the way. Did you see the Snowden interview with John Oliver on HBO? From Sunday night.
Last week tonight. Yes, I saw it at your request. and it was probably one of the best things I've seen all week.
Yeah.
Incredible. And it was really just a silly little conversation about dick pics.
That's basically what it boiled down to. You know, Snowden, as genteelly as he could handle the situation, he tried to be delicate about it, but and use his intellect. And every time you bring up a point, John Oliver, to John Oliver's credit, just said, guess what? They don't care. Nobody cares. And he showed him the videos of all the people in the street they interviewed in Times Square. They didn't know who he was. And you know what? I don't think that's so much of a statement against Snowden, because do you realize, like, as far as the population of this country, there's so many people that don't know who the vice president is. There's so many people that don't know who, you know, Justice Scalia is.
Who is the vice president?
There you go.
I don't think he even knows who the vice
president is. I don't think Joe Biden knows either. But,
no, he don't.
But what I'm saying is I don't think it's really a reflection on Snowden. There's just a lot of really dumbed down people in this country. And so John Oliver's point, to get it home to some really uninformed citizens of this country, was, well, what do you care about? Well, I want to take pictures of my junk and send it over my phone.
Yeah.
And I don't want the government seeing it. Like, that was the one, like, line in the sand, as they called it, for people. And everybody in the interviews were just like, well, they're not doing that. They're not doing that. They're not. Well, they've been doing that for a long time. Yeah. That's how you have to visualize what the government's doing.
We'll send you the URL at the end of the show where all the dick pics are posted. Yeah.
But if that's how you have to visualize what the government's doing and think of it in those terms, if that helps you
comprehend it. How should that help anybody? I mean, have you ever taken a dick pic and sent it to somebody?
I know.
I believe it or not, honestly, and a lot of people would laugh at this, but no, I haven't.
Never done it.
I've never understood the reasoning behind it. I mean, you know.
I don't get any of
that. Yeah, if I'm going to do that sort of thing, I'd rather.
They had a guy, though, in the interview.
Personal interaction, you know.
They had a guy in the interview that admitted to doing it and said, I don't believe the government's trading these pictures around, and Snowden talking technical terms of how they were doing it. And it has been happening for years. And what's so sad is that's what it takes for Americans to go, how dare you? How dare you? And what was funny about the entire interview, and it's kind of how it got summed up, for those of you who haven't seen it yet, is Oliver looks at Snowden and he's like, so basically, the way to solve this is everybody should stop taking pictures of the private areas. And Snowden goes, no, that's not the way to solve it. And Oliver's like, wait a second. Wait. So you're telling me we should keep taking pictures of ourselves? And he goes, absolutely, we should, because it's not up for the government to dictate your behavior.
Dictate, yeah. That was awesome.
Well, there you go. Fair enough. But it's not up for the government to dictate someone's behavior when the government's out of control.
Yeah.
And bizarrely, it actually made sense.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great interview for anybody that hadn't seen it yet. I'm sure most everybody has. Unfortunately, that was the route that had to be taken to get it through the thick skulls of people that haven't comprehended what Edward Snowden has done.
Yeah, and if anybody is listening or happen to just wander into this conversation that's never heard of Edward Snowden, and if you haven't, I'm not going to be in total disbelief, because there's been a lot of misinformation out there about who Edward Snowden is and what he is about.
I live in a bubble. I do, because I thought everybody knew who he was. I just figured everybody just assumed he was a hero. These people are like, he's with WikiLeaks, he sold some stuff. It's like, what? No, none of that ever happened. Like, you don't have a clue about anything.
Yeah.
Also, yesterday in New York, speaking of Edward Snowden, New York.
I like this story. This is awesome.
New York City woke up to a bust of Edward Snowden by three vigilante artists.
And not just a bust. It's not like this little tiny.
Oh, yeah, you would have thought it was there.
No, it was a huge bronze, like over 100 pounds, big giant.
It was over 100,
bust.
Yeah, I mean, they did a really good job with it. And And of course, the NYPD solution is, first, before they remove it, we're going to put a sheet over it. Because we can't leave people see.
They did. They put a tarp over it.
Right.
They just draped a tarp over it and had two cops standing around it, armed,
yeah,
ready to shoot somebody for violating their space or whatever.
Yeah, it's just like, are you serious? I mean,
well, NYPD is kind of scaled down now. They're looking for something to do, you know.
Well, I saw it going around today, and I hadn't really looked into it too much, but I think tonight, or at some point last night, I don't know when it was, they were putting up a hologram or something in replacement of the bus.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't look into it too much, but I mean, that's pretty incredible if that's what they're doing. I mean, Snowden's a hero. How dare anybody say he's not?
Well, Will I Am from Black Eyed Peas got to be a hologram, so I don't see why Edward Snowden.
Tupac was a hologram.
That,
absolutely. There you go.
That really happened. Uncle Nick's calling. Let's talk to Uncle Nick.
The Godfather himself.
How's it going, guys?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. I was just calling to chime in on this whole Snowden topic. I was surprised as well, as you were saying, Scott, about living in a bubble, man. I was pretty sure everyone knew about Snowden too, all the news that he made and all that stuff. In a way, that's a bad thing. In a way, it's a good thing. It's like, okay, people don't watch the news. All right, cool. You were talking about the bronze bust, and then I don't know if you guys saw the video of someone took a Vine video of the cops going and covering it with a tarp.
Yeah.
And then eventually they removed the bust. And then today, I don't know if you saw today, someone did a hologram of Snowden at the same place.
That's what we were just talking about.
So
you saw it. I saw like some stories roll past me today of the hologram, but I didn't actually see it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. They like had like a smoke machine or whatever, and they put the hologram up there above the where it was. It was pretty awesome.
It's like
awesome.
A Banksy installation. It really is, yeah.
Banksy's so behind this. I'm so convinced. But
and,
yeah,
you know, it caused a bunch of waves, and that's the thing. That's what's so cool is that you know, protests can take so many different forms. You don't have to have 100,000 people in the street or a million
Absolutely.
People marching. You can just be three artists that throw a bronze statue up there, and it goes viral, you know. And then back to what you guys were talking about with John Oliver and the whole dick pic topic. You know, I really liked what John Oliver did there, and I have a lot more respect for him now because, you know, that's one of the things we've talked about before. It's personalizing these issues, and it's really hard to, you know, people don't really get it. It's like, oh yeah, the government's, you know, collecting all of your metadata, and it's like, well, what the hell is metadata? Well, dude, they're collecting your dick pics. Do you understand that? You know,
oh my God, no.
And that's what it was, and that's why I think what Oliver did was such a service, because it just, everything went over everybody's head, and he explained it to them in such a way they're like, oh, this is actually what's happening, because people can't comprehend things in those terms. Like when he was interviewing Snowden, he just kept going, okay, I'm glazing over now. I'm asleep. You know, this is boring me.
Yeah, and you know, Snowden has kind of a monotone voice, but he really seemed like he came out of his shell a little bit in that interview. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, man. I thought it was fantastic. So I tell you what, while we got you on the line, I want you to chime in on one of two topics, South Carolina police officer and Rand Paul real quick.
Yeah, that's the main reason I was calling in, was to talk about the whole presidential field and all that stuff. I kind of look at it in a little different way. I'm rooting for a Bush-Clinton run because in my eyes, I get that. Yeah, because in my eyes, man, it's that's what's going to create more activists. You know, imagine if John McCain would have beat Obama in 2012. There would have been a whole nation of activists and stuff.
It's very one-sided, I think. I think the 8 years on, 8 years off has been good for activism, if that makes sense.
Yeah, man. And, you know, it's kind of like there's still a lot of Republican activists and there's still a lot of Democrat activists, you know, and these people are typically conservatives and progressives. And I know plenty of these type of people, and I don't know a single one of them that actually support Jeb Bush, and I don't know a single one of them that actually support Hillary Clinton. So, you know, these are very, very establishment figures being fed down to us. The activists in their own parties don't even want them. So to me, you know, that I see it in two ways. I think that if because we all know that the political system is very, very controlled, you know, the media is very controlled, and, you know, they're not going to allow anybody to become president that isn't really anointed.
Exactly.
So the way I see it is that, you know, if a guy like Rand Paul, which has some non-intervention foreign policy, you know, he's critical of the Fed, and those are two issues that are would typically kill any presidential campaign. When it comes to this mainstream stuff and how the media is going to treat you, if somebody like Rand Paul or let's say what's that lady's name? I can't remember.
Elizabeth Warren
or Bernie Sanders. If one of these candidates, which I would say are on the fringes of the establishment, were elected, I would see that more as an appeasement rather than anything else. So I don't really think they would allow anyone that's going to challenge the status quo in any way to be elected unless they realize, you know, hey, we have to let one of these guys get elected. Otherwise, we're going to be seeing some civil unrest or something like that. You know,
here's what I think. I think that you're right about everything you just said, but I think the appeasement is going to come in the form of somebody they can trust. And what they're going to do is place the ideals of maybe a Warren or a Sanders or a Paul and put them onto the shoulders of a Rubio or a Cruz or something like that. And they're going to get somebody in there they know they can control. Because, you know, everybody's still up in the air about Rand. From one side or the other, it is what it is. Nobody really knows, because some things he says is great. Some things he's just completely sold out on and backed up on. And you don't know what to think about him. That's too much. They're not going to elect somebody like that to be president. They're never going to elect somebody like that that's too uneasy to get a feel on. What they're going to do is they're going to take those good feelings you get from him. They're going to put him on something like Ted Cruz or Rubio. And that's who they're going to get you to vote for. And they're going to transition that emotion you have for this guy and make you think this other guy believes it and get that guy elected, but they control that other guy.
Nah, go on and put your money down right now. It's going to be Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton. I'm ready. Nick's right. Nick's right.
I think that's a possibility, but I don't know how in the world, realistically.
I mean, the whole concept makes me sick. That's where it's at. Look, that's where the money's at.
After the way they shove Romney down people's throats, I just don't see them getting a Bush through. But anything's possible. I've already said it forever. I think he's probably going to get it, but that's just me being cynical. Nick, what do you think?
Anything's possible if Rahm Emanuel can be reelected.
But look, you're doing it in Chicago in the most corrupt, you know, political city in the country. So that is what, we're doing with the most, never mind. I caught myself on that one.
No, but like you were saying, you know, they might repackage these nice ideas and put them into an established candidate. That's kind of what they did with Dennis Kucinich, and they took a lot of his talking points and they put them into Barack Obama, and he kind of was able to hijack those progressives that are really the hardcore activists, just like on the other side of the spectrum. It's the conservatives that are actually the people that get out and turn out the vote and get out to the town halls and get out there and do the caucusing and all that stuff. It's the people that are passionate about their politics, but people just don't get passionate about Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush, Hillary Clinton. You know, they want Elizabeth Warren, they want Rand Paul, but you know, that's, unfortunately, you know, that's just not going to happen.
Neither's going to happen. You're right. And I think personally, and I think you can agree with this, Nick, I saw more passion in my entire lifetime of people that caucused and supported Ron Paul in 2012 than I've ever seen for any political candidate ever in my entire life, period. Did he have the most votes? No, but the passion, the genuine love for a candidate, the love for freedom. And I think that's what's trickled onto Rand, and I think that's what's really propelled Rand. And while there's even discussion over some eye doctor from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable that he's even getting any play. And I think that's like really the only good thing that's going to come out of his candidacy, just like his dad. is, you know, hopefully he's going to here's what I hope. I hope he's going to see that he's not going to get any play and that he's basically going to get the shaft just like his dad did. And then he can kind of go off a little farther into the abyss and start talking about real issues at these debates. You know, that's really the most positive thing that we're going to be able to get out of, you know, these kind of candidacies, is just spreading more awareness, talking about issues that actually matter, talking about foreign policy, the Federal Reserve, you know, the stuff that he's really strong on like that. I think that's where he can really make some headway. Yeah, he's not going to be president, but at least these ideas are going to get pushed out there to these neocons that are watching these debates on CNN. And they may actually start to be like, oh, maybe that guy kind of does make sense, especially if he gets a little more speaking time than his dad did. You know, remember that there was that one debate where his dad only got 30 seconds of speaking time.
Right.
At a debate. Hopefully Rand, as a more establishment, you know, kind of a more mainstream figure, he'll get maybe, you know, a couple minutes at each debate to speak, and hopefully he can use that time to spread some.
In other words, Nick, what you're trying to say, though, is that Rand Paul needs to kind of, you know, suck a little bit more dick than Ron Paul did.
He already has. But yeah. But
how we saw it tonight. On
right.
Hannity.
Well, OK. But here's the thing, I think, with Rand is I don't think people understand, for good or for bad, Rand's not going into this that I believe to do what his dad did. I don't think he's going in there to make talking points. I think Rand is a bit of a jerk.
And that
being said, it's like, no, I'm not going to get shut out. I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs. And to your point, you talking about getting both sides talking. I don't know if you caught this today. Chris Matthews, of all people, was defending Rand Paul to Democrats on MSNBC.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, it's funny. All of a sudden the left is like anti-war now that this whole Iran deal seems like it's going through. But, you know, they don't really have any problem with Obama saying that he's backing the job that the Saudis are doing over in Yemen. You know, and it really shows the hypocrisy here and the real moral inconsistency that we're dealing with when it comes from the quote unquote left media. You know, and they're all against war when it comes to Iran now, you know, now that Obama's like making this great deal. And by all means, I actually support Obama on this, and I, you know, disagree with him on most things, but I support what he's doing with Iran, because by all means, we don't need another war over there. But at the same exact time, simultaneously, while this whole peace thing is going through with Iran, Obama has thrown his weight behind the Saudi operation in Yemen, which is, as Scott, SM, you wrote an article about it the other day about all the civilians that are being killed over there in Yemen because of these Saudi airstrikes. And I was just reading articles, even on the mainstream now, they're starting to talk about it because it's become so egregious. They're just blowing shit up now at this point.
Saudis are killing people. But I tell you what, I want to throw this in there real quick. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see the article from The Intercept earlier about the six things you didn't know the United States did to Iran?
Yeah, man. And we've done that country so horribly. I mean, I can't believe the people there are still willing to, you know, even celebrate this peace deal. I mean, if the tables were turned and we were the people that were – those six things were done to us, I don't think we'd ever forgive them.
No. I mean, there's no way. I mean – just what happened in 53 with Mossadegh getting overthrown. And everybody's like, why can't Iran get democracy? They had it. They literally had it, and we overthrew it. It's mind-blowing.
They had a really nice democracy, actually, back in the 50s. The guy was American-educated. He went in, and he was making a bunch of reforms. You know, they were being taken advantage of by the oil companies, just like most countries are in the Middle East right now.
It was mostly in the United Kingdom, and then they nationalized the oil, and the next thing you know, he's getting tossed out of office.
Yeah. You know, and it's crazy. People should look it up. The Intercept, 10 things you didn't know. Six things you didn't know the U.S. and its allies did to Iran.
Absolutely. Join Nick tomorrow on Anti-Media Radio. Thank y'all so much. Thank you, Shannon.
I'ma let 'em know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.